Well, good evening, ladies. In case you don't know me, I'm Cindy Lester. I am Paul Lester's wife. We've been married 45 years. We have three wonderful children and three fantastic grandkids. I prayed they'd all get one just like them, and so far, so good. They deserve every second, if you only knew. Well, some of you do know what I went through. We're going to be talking tonight about knowing God's voice and having His peace. So before entering into that, I want to just share a little bit of my testimony. Not all of it, just some of it. I asked the Lord into my heart when I was about 7 years old. So I was pretty young, and I truly have tried to follow Him since then. My home life was not easy by any stretch of the means. It was just me and my mom. They divorced my mom and dad when I was five. My dad had been physically abusive to my mom. My mom was physically and emotionally abusive to me. She had really bad anger issues. Really not a good idea for kids. I'll just put it nicely. She had trouble telling the truth. So that was my home life. I had some great aunts that were a significant part of my life for getting saved. One of my great aunts was substituting in my Sunday school class, which my mom went to church, but no fruit anyway. And she was the one that actually just asked the class, hey, does anybody want to ask the Lord in their heart? So she was one of them, was one who led me to the Lord. My other great aunt, who was a neighbor of ours, was a fantastic example. I'd come over in the mornings and she'd be sitting there reading her Bible. And I thought, okay, well, I need to do that. And I need to let people know about the Lord, because you can't assume just because I was at home that somebody told me about Jesus. They assumed I guess just got it, but I didn't until they asked. Anyway, I remember, though, chatting with my great aunts. We used to go on walks together, and I said, you know what's going on at home. Can't you do something? And they chose not to. So I was stuck in this environment. They didn't believe in going to doctors. She probably should have been on some meds or something. They did try to cast demons out, and it didn't work. Go figure. And I share that because it's really been me learning His voice since I was seven, because it was His voice that would tell me, don't go in the house yet. And I knew my mom wasn't in the right place. Or I'd be in the house and He'd tell me, get out of the house. And so I learned from a young age to know His voice and to obey His voice, because it would go a lot better if I did. I also remember being a youngster, and to me it's like, if the pastor's teaching it and I see it in scripture, then that's what we do. I was pretty black and white. And I remember sometimes we'd be all driving. My mom didn't drive, so we were always in the car with some of the great aunts. And I remember, you know, say the pastor was teaching on don't gossip, and they'd get in the car and they'd gossip. And I'd be in the back seat going, didn't the pastor just say not to do that? And I was in so much trouble every week for calling him on, but I don't feel bad about it. I was taken out of the will I don't know how many times. But tonight, we are going to be looking at knowing His voice and having His peace. The main scripture that we're going to start with and finish with is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. I think that, like I say, in order to know His peace, we really have to know His voice. So we're going to cover some verses about knowing His voice, because I don't, personally, if I didn't know His voice, I wouldn't understand what He was telling me and have that peace that He wanted me to have. It's for us, though, we can hear His voice when we're reading scripture. We can hear His voice when we're listening to a sermon. Sometimes He even speaks to us while we're praying or simply out and about during our day. Sometimes He'll speak to us through our friends and family from church. There's mundane chores I do at home, and He's spoken to me so many times that I don't not like doing them anymore. I used to hate ironing. And I can't tell you how many times he's talked to me as I'm ironing. So now it's like, yeah, I'll iron. Don't tell Paul. I've learned to take walks with him. I have learned to spend my time driving, talking with him. I have tea with him. Whatever opportunity I have, I want to have conversation with him. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So we have to be one of his sheep for us to hear his voice and to know what he wants us to do. Psalms 29, verse 4 says, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty." I love that verse, and what a sift for me to look at and go, okay, that was a powerful word that was probably from the Lord. And you'll have to excuse me drinking water. I'm an introvert, and this is not my game. Jeremiah 23:29 says, "Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks rock in pieces?" And if you think about fire, winter's coming. Fire can be nice and warm and comforting. We want a blanket and sit in front of the fire, right? Read a book. It's very nice. But fire can also burn us if it's too hot. Fire can melt the hardest materials, yet it refines and consumes impurity. Those are all things that his word can do in our life. And it can be like a hammer. A hammer can break things into pieces. A hammer strengthens or straightens bent things, but it also makes metals stronger when they are beat with a hammer. I'm not saying he beats us, but those are just different things that his word can do within our lives. And to me, that's just a great picture. How he uses his word in our life strengthens us, gets rid of the impurities. Sometimes it is a little corrective, but all those things just from his word. John 6:63 says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." On September 10th, I was with some friends in Manhattan. Her husband was working and had to fly out there, and she wanted to go to Manhattan, and I was the plus one that hung out with her. And so September 10th, she and I were all over Manhattan walking and seeing as much as we could. As a matter of fact, that evening, very late at night, we were underneath the Twin Towers and taking the train. The next morning, my friend was late coming to my hotel room because her feet were very sore. She had not really worn good shoes for walking a lot. So she was running late, and we were just about to leave the room, and the phone rang, and it was Paul. And he said, "Don't go into Manhattan today." And my first thought was not very kind. "How dare you? I'm here having fun." I didn't say these things, but, you know, my mind certainly said a few things to my dear sweet husband. He told me to turn the TV on to the news. And when I did, it was right when the second airplane hit the second tower. And I thought, "We are not going to Manhattan. Thank you for calling. I regret all those things that came to my mind the first time." We knew we needed to get home. My friends, though, were freaking out and trying to figure out how we were going to get home and what was the safest way to travel, because a lot of the different routes had different things going on. I didn't want to be the person freaking out, so I went to prayer. I just quietly sat and started asking the Lord, "What is going on, and what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to travel home? What do you want us to do, Lord? We weren't ready for this." And he told me, "I know exactly where each and every one of my children are." And he gave me that peace. He knew where we were. He knew that we weren't there in Manhattan at that point. He also knew there were some of his children in the towers. And I'm sure he gave them peace as well. My friends literally thought I'd lost my mind. They thought I because of everything going on, they're like, okay, she's lost it, and she's just closed off. They couldn't understand the peace that God had given me. And that's okay. That's something that he gives us. He may not give it to everybody, but he can give it to us. I think it's often that still small voice he uses to bring us his peace. I know in my life that has been the case. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." One time I was very sick. There was a time when we were living in Arkansas, and it was about a year that I caught everything. I was sick all the time. I couldn't leave the house. I couldn't drive, anything. And I said, "You know what, Lord? I've been serving you in ministry since I was a child, and this is what I get. I'm done." And his still small voice said, "And where will you go that I cannot find you?" I said, "I'm sorry, Lord. Let me retract that. I am so sorry." But he gave me the peace to endure what I was going through. And it was awesome. And I am so thankful for it. It said in that verse, God's word is living and powerful. Every time I read through the Bible, he speaks to me something new, something fresh, something challenging, something encouraging, something to ponder. I don't have another book in my library that does that. I've got books I read often, but they don't do that for me like his word does. God's word brings us true health, fruitfulness, healing power, delivery from oppression, cleanses us, keeps us from sin, counsels us, guides us, gives us strength, gives life, gives peace, has the power and authority against our enemy, brings faith, and is our source of spiritual growth, just to name a few things. And that word there in that verse when it said the word of God is powerful, it's an active word. It's not just this, it's not a sedentary word. It's an active word. And I think we've all had those times when we're sitting here and listening to the pastor speak, and it hits us right where we needed to be hit. That's the power of God's word. It's sharper than anything and knows exactly where to speak to our heart. And it's a bullseye every time. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And I love this verse. You might need peace because there's a fork in the road, or you don't know what to do, and he'll show you the way to go, and he will give you peace. Now, if we break this down, a lamp to your feet, what it's talking about is it's a lamp that is literally on your feet, and it shows you one step. Okay? So when we're not knowing where to go, "Lord, I need to know where to go. Show me where your footsteps are." Literally, show me where that next step is to go. And he will do that. But then it talks about a light to my path. So now you're talking not just right here, but the whole path that he's going to take you on. When we were serving here the first time around, and we were still over, or the church was over on 10th and F, I'd ask the Lord every year, "Where do you want me to serve?" He kept moving me. Toddler room, one of the other, you know, children's ministry rooms, and then women's ministry, and the soundboard, and just, he kept moving me around. I'm like, how come my friends get to get comfortable in one spot, and you go, "No, over here, and over here, and over here," and I'm like, of course I'm going to do it, but, bigger picture, he sent us to Arkansas. I needed to know how to do all those jobs, because Paul was busy being the senior pastor. And so I knew how to teach somebody how to do the soundboard and to run it. I knew how to teach somebody to lead a children's ministry meeting. I knew how to set up a toddler room. If he had shown me, "I want you to go to all these ministries because that's what I have for you," I would have said, "Nope, no, nah, I would have. But he knew better, so he only gave me the light for one step versus the path. Sometimes he knows we can handle the path. Sometimes he's like, yeah, no, not you. You get one little step at a time. I'm okay with that. I always say he has me on a short choke chain. There was also another time I didn't do so well. He told me, well, we're in Arkansas and the church was very small. He said, you need to learn guitar. And I'm like, no. I play many instruments, but not guitar. I'm okay, Lord. He kept coming at me. I want you to learn to play guitar. No, God, sir. To play guitar, you get calluses. Y'all remember nylons? You ever try to put on a pair of nylons with calluses? It is nasty. All the way up. Lord, that can't be you. So I ignored him. Totally ignored him. And then all of a sudden, our worship leader gave us 2 weeks' notice he was leaving. We didn't have anybody else. I had 2 weeks to learn how to play guitar, stand and play the guitar, and sing at the same time. You might have asked me to juggle, and I might have done, I wouldn't. It was not easy. Had I listened to the Lord, it would have been so much better. I would have had like 2 months. 2 months to get it figured out, but no. And somebody's like, oh, you kept beat so well. It was so cute. I was so nervous. I had this. I was like, oh, thanks. So when he speaks to you, learn from me. Just do what he wants you to do. Even if it may put snags in your nylons, just go ahead and do it. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We need to know his voice above all others. We need to know his voice above anything in the world, anything in the family, anything, period. Paul and I had been married 6 months. When we got married, I was 17. 6 months later, I just turned 18. So he's working at this little small company, and they're moving him from Santa Barbara to San Jose. So we tell my family, we're moving. And they looked right at me and said, no, that's not of God. You stay here and you leave him. These are my Christian aunts, the ones that showed me how to read the Bible, the ones that brought me to the Lord, and I'm sitting there going, that's not of God. 18. And I'm like, no. I said, bye. I just knew. It was like, that was not from God. That was not what he had me to do. And then they said, okay, yeah, you go ahead, but you don't get to keep your car because it's not in your name. I'm like, well, my mom doesn't drive, so what are you going to, never mind, here, take the keys. Because we had obeyed. I know this is part of our, we obeyed him, we moved. My other great uncle, who lived up where we were going to be, found us the best deal on a car, and it was so much better than the one I left behind. And I didn't toot any horn, but I thought, that is just our God. You know, people want to take some, fine, my God's bigger than that, right? But we have to know his voice, even above those that should be speaking his word to us, because they may not get it right. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Mayer says, understand, dear soul, that it is thy privilege to live inside the double doors of God's loving care. He says to thee, peace, peace. If one assurance is not enough, he will follow it with a second and a third. When it talks about in that verse, whose mind is stayed on you, it has to be stayed on the Lord, not ourselves, not our problems, not on other people. Because sometimes we take God off the throne in our heart over silly things. And we have to remember to put him back and leave him there, to have a mind stayed on him. You also have to be able to fully trust him to have his peace. Because when he asks you to do things, sometimes you're like, I don't know. But if you really think about his love for you, how much he's blessed you, and he's such an awesome God, why wouldn't we trust him? So if you trust him, you can have his pieces, be able to keep his peace better. Can you be at peace and still have your stomach churning? 2 weeks ago, I would have said no. Today, I say yes. Okay? Somebody brought that up to me, and I thought to myself, no, then you don't really have peace if you still have a little bit of uncertainty. And then, well, then my life happens to be in that place where I have his peace, but there's that churning. And it's the what ifs that churn inside of us. And he said to me, am I not there in the what ifs? Yes, he is there in the what ifs. So we can have peace and just keep telling ourselves, even if that happens, he is still there, and then have that peace back. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace, the Lord says, I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. It was really common back, it still is in Israel, you know, your hello and goodbye is shalom, which is peace. Here, we just say, hey, hi, whatever. But in neither place, majority of the times when you see somebody and you just say hi briefly as you pass them, do you really mean it? Not really. You're just like kind of acknowledging that you see them. But God means something different in that verse. Jesus wanted them to know he was not giving them a greeting, that he was saying something special, that he meant what he was saying. Morgan said, he carefully described the peace as my peace. His peace has a heart untroubled and unfearful in spite of all the suffering and conflict ahead of him. He leaves his peace with us. He doesn't take it back, but we can lose it very easily. And then we have to just get back to him and ask him to give it or to give us more peace again. On the day Paul and I got married, I had left, prior to all of that, I had a wedding dress, and I left it at the cleaners. My mom was a hoarder, so that wedding dress was not coming home because it would have been smashed to smithereens in the closet. So I left it at the cleaners. And I went on my way from the house to the cleaners to the church, because that way it wouldn't get messed up, right? Just logical to me in my brain. So I go to the cleaners and say, hey, here's my ticket. I'm here to get my wedding dress. And they go in the back and they go, we have nothing on that ticket. I'm sorry, what? Do you have a wedding dress back there? Yes, we do. Well, may I describe to you my wedding dress that I left here for you to clean? I had altered it because it was my cousin's wedding dress and she's about this tall. So there was hemming to undo, and there was shoulders to undo, and there was sleeves to undo. So I could describe it very well because I had altered this dress. And they said, well, that's the dress. I said, that's my dress. And I said, but you know what? If you, by rules, cannot give it to me, just know I'm driving up the road to the church, and I will get married like this or in that, because I'm at peace either way. This is comfortable, a lot more comfortable than that, but you know, they're expecting me to be in that. They gave me the dress. But I truly had that peace. It was like, it's a dress. I'm getting married. At the end of the day, Paul's my husband and I'm out. You know, and that was his peace. My mama did not have that peace. She was about to climb over the counter and do all kinds of things. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and to be thankful. We can always find something to be thankful for, and we are called to have peace with each other. Sometimes that can be challenging, but once again, we have to remember the God we're serving and the family that we are part of. Was I thankful for all the things that I went through as a child? Not always, especially in the middle of it, but it was not easy. Yet, through that, he has enabled me to counsel many women and help them through many situations. He taught me to raise my children to never be in those situations. That's the beauty from ashes. And because of that, I can have peace from what happened in my childhood. Was it nice? No. Was it a typical way a kid was raised? No. But I had his peace, and I learned at that young age, because of that, his voice and his peace. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world." When Jesus was speaking this to his disciples, Judas was actually meeting with the people that were going to arrest him and persecute him. And yet he could say this. Guzik said, "Jesus did not promise peace, he offered it. He said, you may have peace. We don't find real peace anywhere else other than in Jesus." So he offers it to us. Now what are we going to do? Are we going to come get it? Or are we going to leave it? 2 Thessalonians 3:16. "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always, in every way, the Lord be with you all." We can have his peace always and in every way. I don't see an exception here. It doesn't say, you can have his peace always, except for, well, you know, when somebody cuts you off on the freeway. Or actually, back then it would have been the donkey, right? When somebody cuts you off with the donkey. It's not there. There's no exception. We can have his peace always and in every way. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness." And there's more, but we're just going to stick with this one verse. So peace is a fruit of the Spirit. And you have to remember, to be something, to have good fruit, you have to stay attached to the vine. So if your peace is missing, maybe you're not attached to the vine the way you ought to be. Maybe it's time to just ask him, is there something I need to do? Is there something I need to not do? Or is it just I'm missing my time with you to have that peace back? I have a hip replacement coming up in 2 weeks. And I asked the Lord for peace if the doctor I was seeing was the one I was supposed to have, because I'm a little picky. They're sawing and drilling. I'm a little picky. And he gave me peace when I saw the doctor. I was like, okay, this is the person that, you know, I will be seeing. And then I asked the Lord about setting up the surgery, and he gave me peace. So I set up the surgery. And then that churning started, that little, am I really supposed to, am I not? Is this the time or is not the time? And so I asked the Lord, can you confirm that this is when you want me to have this hip replacement? And the next day I woke up and my hip was on fire. And I said, I'm sorry I doubted you, God. And thank you for the confirmation. I will leave that date, because that was no fun. That peace I can have always and getting, I'm a big fan of confirmation, big fan. I the Lord knows me. I might have to tell her twice because I don't want to misstep. Back to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Be anxious for nothing. It's a command and not an option. Not always an easy thing, but it is there for us. In every situation, by prayer. Pray about everything. Everything. I don't know about you, but when the Lord returns, I don't want to be found doing something I'm not supposed to. Personally, I just, that's the one thing that's always been in my mind since I was a kid. I don't want him to return and go, well, you know, I really wanted you to do that, but you're over here. No. I want him to come back and go, all right, yeah, you're right where I want you to be. That would be awesome. It also talks about with Thanksgiving. It's hard to whine and complain when you're thankful. Now, monthly, we women can whine pretty easily about everything and anything, but besides that, we need to be remembering to be thankful. He's done so much for us. But when we, it says to pray about everything, be thankful for the blessings, and just bringing that all to him and to allow him to put into our hearts in the right place. And in doing that, it's that sweet spot. Because it says, be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. So there's that, those steps. Don't be anxious. Turn all the things over to him with prayer and petition. Have that thanksgiving, also knowing that he will answer your prayer before you even see the answer. And leave it with God. Tonight we're going to close a little bit differently, because he's our Father, he's our Shepherd, and I know that in our lives right now that there's things that some of us, I got ahead of myself. I'm sorry. Back that little bus up. Nope, that's just where we're going to close tonight. Okay, tonight we're going to close a little different in that if anybody here is not, they don't know his voice, then I want us to all be able to have a chance to pray for you. And what that means is if you can stand, you're going to stand. If you can't stand, you're going to raise your hand. And as I pray, anybody around you is going to lay hands on you, and we're just going to pray for you. So I'd like right now that if you want prayer to be able to hear his voice, go ahead and stand so we can pray for you. And ladies around them, please just gently put a hand on them so we can pray for them. Father, you are an awesome God. You love us. You don't leave us where we're at. Father, you want us to know your voice. And for these, my sisters, Lord, who are here and standing and they want to know your voice better, I ask and pray that you would make it so clear for them to know your voice above all others. Father, that they would know it, whether it's whispered or whether it's even just a little bit louder, that they would know right away that it's your voice. Father, may they find comfort, may they find strength, and may they find healing in knowing your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the second group, if some of you are here and you just need his peace, then I'd also like you to stand so we can pray for you. So if somebody's around these ladies who are wanting God's peace, if you just put a hand on them and so we can pray for them, that would be fantastic. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you give us peace. Father, I ask and pray for each of my sisters who are standing, that you would do just that, that you would lead them, that you would direct them, that they would have your peace ruling and reigning in their hearts. And Lord, every time the enemy would come to snuff it out, that you would give them a verse to hold on to, that they would just know that they have your peace and that they would just fan the flames on that peace, Lord, and hold on to it. Father, ask and pray for each of the ladies that are here, that you would just bless them. Father, that tonight even they would leave here knowing they have your peace and knowing that it can be with them always. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have any other prayer requests, there will be some ladies up here that would love to pray for you. And let me just close our whole thing one more time with prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for your word, that it is living and alive, and it speaks to us each and every day. Father, help us to be Bereans, always in your word, seeking your face. Father, I ask and pray that you just bless each of the ladies here, above and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.